السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. عفوا.
لا بأس،
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله، and we are on باب دعوات النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. The chapter about the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We explained repeatedly that given the fact that we have been commanded in the Quran to make dua, the best of those who followed that command was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Just as we are commanded to observe salat, the best of those who observed the salah was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Allah has made him as a means of an exemplary for us. Allah made him an exemplary for us regarding our dunya and regarding our deen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam. So what he does, we do. What he was silent about, we know that it's an approval, and we know what to handle and how to handle the circumstance. But here, in terms of dua, the way, the manner, and the how of what he made the dua, we are going to follow him in it, because we don't have a better way than what he gave sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So this is the reason why Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he has established this chapter to make us hear how was it the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how was it that he expressed his dua, and how frequently, what kinds of expressions did he employ, what were the things he was asking for, and how was he asking for them, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This chapter starts with Hadith 620-662. In 662, the dua was, Allahumma inni as'aluka ghinaya wa ghina mawlaya. I hope we will have been saying this in our salat and in other sessions when we make dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ghinaya wa ghina mawlaya. Allahumma inni as'aluka ghinaya. Ughina Mawlaya. In 663, the hadith that followed, the dua in it was that the Prophet would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma aafini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi wa sharri maniyi. Allahumma aafini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi wa sharri maniyi. Oh Allah, grant me afiyah, grant me well-being, min sharri sam'i, from the evil of my hearing, wa basari, and my sight, wa lisani, and my tongue, wa qalbi, and my heart, wa sharri maniyi, grant me well-being from the evil that befalls a person from his private fluids. This is the dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Shakal ibn Humayd radiallahu anhu, who had asked him, Alimni du'a'an antafi'u bihi, teach me a dua that I will make benefit from. The Prophet taught him, Allahumma alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma aafini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi. That's also an easy dua to memorize in Hadith 664, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول, the messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he would say كان يقول, it was something he was saying always. What was that? اللهم أعني ولا تعن علي وانصرني ولا تنصر علي ويسر الهدى لي يسر الهدى لي. Oh Allah, a'inni, help me. Wala tu'in alayya, don't help others against me. Wansurni, support me. Provide me help and support. Wala tansur alayya, don't grant others victory against me. Wa yassir, yassir al-huda li, make guidance easy for me. Yassir al-huda, the guidance of Islam being upon rightness and righteousness upon my deen, make it easy for me. In the report that followed in 665, we have the broader and more explicit expression of what we had in 664. The Prophet would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi a'inni ولا تعن علي وانصرني ولا تنصر علي وامكر لي ولا تمكر علي ويسر لي الهدى وانصرني على من بغى علي ربي اجعلني شكارا لك ذكارا لك راهبا لك متواء لك مخبتا لك أواها منيبا تقبل توبتي واغسل حوبتي وأجب دعوتي وثبت حجتي واهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واصل سخيمة قلبي. This was the dua he would also make, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This will bring us to Hadith 666 today, bi-idhnillah, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he said, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي مَالِكٌ عَنْ يَزِيدَ بْنِ زِيَادٍ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ كَعْبٍ الْقُرَظِي قَالَ مُعَاوِيَةُ بْنَ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ إِنَّهُ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ ولا ينفع ذا الجد منه الجد ومن يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. سمعت هؤلاء الكلمات من النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على هذه الأعواد. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Ismail, that is Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We have mentioned a number of ahadith about this Imam. His mother was the sister of Al-Imam Malik. His mother was the sister of Al-Imam Malik, meaning that Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas was his maternal uncle, his khal, رحمهم الله. So Al-Bukhari said رحمه الله حدثنا إسماعيل, and he was from the scholars of Medina in his time. إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس, he narrated to us, قال حدثني مالك, he reported that Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas reported this hadith to them, he narrated it to them. Fortunately, looking a bit forward, would find that this hadith has been reported by very eminent students of Al-Imam Malik, apart from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, from whom Al-Bukhari took the hadith. Al-Imam Qutaybah ibn Sa'id also reported it. Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab also reported it. الإمام القعنبي also reported it. الإمام عبد الله بن يوسف التنيسي also reported it. These are very eminent students of الإمام مالك. So this shows that that report from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was a perfect report from him, from al-Imam Malik rahimahullah. Al-Imam Malik, his sheikh in this isnad was Yazid ibn Ziyad. Yazid ibn Ziyad al-Quradhi. He was ascribed to Banu Quraiz rahimahullah. He was reporting from Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradhi, from amongst the Tabi'un. He was well known. Yazid ibn Ziyad was reporting from Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradhi, who was a well-known Tabi'i. He said, Rahimahullah, Qala Muawiyatu ibn Abi Sufyan ala al-Mimbar. Muawiyatu ibn Abi Sufyan, that was that eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the son of Abu Sufyan and the brother of one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of those who got involved, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him write the verses of the Quran for him when verses of the Quran were revealed from those who wrote them down in the scripts they had at the time was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and his father was Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhum. His sister was the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these will show the importance of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. During the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he was given an appointment. During the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was made to head the entire region of Sham, Muawiyah. In the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was made to head Sham. Sham includes present-day Syria, present-day Lebanon, present-day Jordan, present-day Palestine, and what they call Israel. All of these were part of ancient Sham. It was in charge of Egypt. It was in charge of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan during the time of Umar radiyallahu anhum. This goes to show how so knowledgeable and reliable Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was. In the time of Umar, it was not possible for a person to head the entirety of that region, bigger than almost 5 or 6 countries today under Islam, where we had a lot of companions. Someone was made the head of that community, and then he was not a righteous person. That is not possible in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And it was even after that that Umar radiallahu anhu sent Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to Kufa. And when he was asked why he was sending Ibn Mas'ud, he said, I was sending one of the most knowledgeable persons to you. Before that, Muawiyah was already heading the entirety of Sham. That does not show any other than eminence and respect and honor for the personality of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, the son of a companion and the brother of a wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to write down revelation for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradhi was from the scholars of Al-Madinah. He said, Qala Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, One day, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was standing on that same minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Muawiyah was standing on the minbar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, in the presence of the companions and in the presence of the Tabi'un, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. All the eminence amongst the Tabi'un were present. And those who were still alive inside Medina, amongst the companions, were also present. And Muawiyah was on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. No one said, "Hey, Muawiyah, you are not due for that place. Oh, Muawiyah, you are this. Oh, Muawiyah." No. Because they understood and recognized the eminence and the knowledge and the personality of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. All of these come from the fadail of Muawiyah. He was standing on the minbar of the Prophet in the presence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the presence of the companions of the Prophet and the elders amongst the Tabi'un, and he was giving a khutbah. Radiallahu anhuma. So Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Kurazi said, Qala Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan ala al-minbar. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he said, while standing on the minbar of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Innahu la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. Innahu la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'a Allah wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minhu al jaddi. Innahu la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'a Allah wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minhu al jaddi wa man yuridillahu bihi khayra yufaqqihu fi ad-din. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, he was standing on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Innahu la mani'a lima a'tayt. Certainly, la mani'a lima a'tayt. Ma a'tayt. Whatever Allah grants anybody, whatever Allah gives you, la mani'a lima a'tayt. There is no one anywhere who can prevent it. Whatever Allah grants, there is no one who can prevent it. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَ اللَّهُ. And whatever Allah prevents, مَا مَنَعَ اللَّهُ, what Allah prevents, what Allah has not given you, what Allah has not provided you, la mu'tiya lahu. There is nobody anywhere, no power anywhere, no authority anywhere that can provide it. Muawiyah said that on the minbar, radiyallahu anhu. And then he said, wala yanfa'u dhal jaddi minhu al jaddu. La yanfa'u dhal jaddi. Al-Jaddu is Al-Ghina, wealth, power, authority, eminence. La yanfa'u dhal-Jaddi minhu Al-Jaddu. This Al-Jaddu, la yanfa'u dhal-Jaddi minhu. It will not benefit the one who has it. Al-Jaddu will not benefit dhal-Jaddi. Dhal-Jaddu is the one, Dhal-Jaddi is the one who has power, who has authority, who has profuse wealth, well known amongst the people. All of this in the sight of Allah, minhu yani indahu indallahi la yanfa'u Dhal-Jaddi. These wealth, these eminence, this power, this authority that you may have, it will not benefit you before Allah. It will not bring you help before Allah, if it is not, of course, from the acts of righteousness. So the scholars say, rahimahumullah, what this implies is that what benefits you before Allah is your deen. If you have wealth and you have not done good deeds with it, it does not have a benefit. If you have power and authority, that power in itself will not bring benefit to you until you employ it upon righteousness. Just like the one who has wealth and he has not paid zakat with it, the wealth will not benefit him. But when he pays zakat with it, it becomes a good deed, amalun salihun yanfa'uhu. But if it is just the wealth, he had pillaged the wealth, he had gathered the money, he had gathered eminence, he had gathered prominence, he had built refineries of different kinds, he had owned whole countries, owned the entirety of the country, and then you die. You did not employ all of these things for the sake of Allah to benefit the people. Because when you employ it for goodness, it becomes amalun salihun. It becomes a good deed. Good deeds will benefit you. But that wealth itself alone, as a wealth, does not have any benefit. Once you die, that's over. Once you die, that's over. So this dua goes to make us understand the need for us to quickly do good deeds. Do it quickly. You just keep the money, you just keep the wealth, you just keep your personality. Because sometimes what we employ for good deed is our personality. How do you employ your personality for good deeds? You help someone who needs someone to talk to him to get one benefit. Someone needs someone to talk to someone to get a benefit. Someone needs someone to arrange marriage for someone. Someone needs someone to help someone to get something done. We need one sheikh to get one thing done somewhere. We need one ustaz to get something done somewhere. We need one political office holder to get a permission to build a masjid somewhere, to build a madrasa somewhere, to help do something somewhere. You are going to employ your personality. That personality that you employed has brought benefit to you. It was employed upon goodness. But when you have it and you don't employ it, it has no benefit in the sight of Allah. I hope that this is clear. We say this dua about 3 times immediately after salah, sometimes once. There are reports of 3. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari mentioned reports of 3 saying this, Allahumma la mani' al-ma'atayt, in the fuller report of that hadith in Sahih Muslim. In the fuller report of that hadith, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, while explaining that hadith also in Fath al-Bari, rahimahullah, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that this dua may be said 3 times after salah. Rahimahullah. So this hadith, la yanfa'u dhaljaddi minhu aljaddu, before Allah, indahu, la yanfa'u dhaljaddi aljaddu. Aljaddu la yanfa'u dhaljaddi indallah, in the sight of Allah. Aljaddu, wealth, eminence, prominence, it does not bring any benefits to you in the sight of Allah. I am the son of, I'm just giving an example. You come to say, I am the son of the president of the country. It does not bring benefit until that becomes a means of help for somebody else. Until it becomes a means of support for somebody else. Until it becomes a means of kindness for somebody else. Until it becomes a means of ease for somebody else. It now becomes a good deed, not just the wealth, not just the position, not just the authority that you have. So if you have authority and you have not benefited people with it, in the sight of Allah, it does not mean anything. La yanfa'u, it does not even bring benefit to you. If it was wealth, if you have not removed the zakah, it does not bring benefit. In fact, it's being gathered as a means, to be employed as a means of punishment for you, the same wealth that you have kept. And that was why one of the things of pain that will happen to the people who refuse to pay zakah on the day of Qiyamah is that they will be told, "Hadha ma kanastum li anfusikum." This was what you had hoarded for yourself. You refused to give zakah. Fazuku ma kuntum taknizun. Aya, taste what you were hiding. You were hiding the wealth. Aya, taste it. So you see, it does not bring benefit. In fact, this verse and the ahadith about man'u zakah prove that that wealth, that then that authority, that power, that esteem that you have does not bring benefits. It is rather a means of punishment on the day of Qiyamah. The time when it becomes beneficial is when you employ it for righteousness, when you employ it for goodness. The same thing, you begin to earn sins. If all the wealth that Allah has given you as the richest black man or the richest white man or the richest green man on the surface of the earth is that you gather musicians and further fund music and entertainment, that is what you are using that wealth for, Abi. You are using that wealth to fund entertainment and music, Abi. It will be a means of punishment for you unless you make tawbah on the day before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make tawbah before you meet Allah. Otherwise, you have wealth, you are funding musicians. You have wealth, you are funding entertainers. You are inviting entertainers to make iftar in Ramadan just because that is the company you want to keep. You will see that that wealth is rather a means of wabal, is a means of trial, an evil trial against those who have that wealth. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan said, "Innahu la mani alima a'tait." Certainly, la mani alima a'ta Allah. Whatever Allah gives, nobody can prevent you. This is also telling, especially Yorubas. They believe that some people can take the wealth of others away from them. It is from the thinking of Jahiliyyah. La mani alima a'tait. Whatever Allah has preserved for you from wealth, nobody can prevent it from reaching you. Wala mu'tiya lima mana Allah. And whatever Allah has not given you, if you like, go and do yahu yahu, yaha yaha, whatever you do, you will not get any other than what Allah has preordained for you. So why not seek that thing through lawful means? You will not hasten it and you cannot increase it. So why not seek that wealth, that power, that esteem through lawful means? Because whatever means you seek, it does not mean you will get more than what Allah has given you at the time that He has preordained it for you. So why not seek that thing you don't know when and how Allah will give you? Why not seek it lawfully? Because you can only get what is preordained for you. So if Allah has not given you, nobody can forgive you. If Allah has not given you, nobody can bring it forward. So Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu was saying these expressions while standing on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that innahu la mani'a lima a'tait wa la mu'tiya lima mana Allah wa la yanfa'u zal jadd minhu al jadd. Innahu la mani'a lima a'tait. Whatever Allah gives, certainly nobody can prevent it. Wa la mu'tiya lima mana Allah. And whatever Allah has prevented, nobody can give. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْهُ الْجَدُّ. No wealth, no personality, no esteem or authority is beneficial to those who have that authority. They are not beneficial before Allah to that person until they are upon goodness and righteousness. Then he said, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَكِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. Man, anyone, يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا. that Allah desires goodness for him. Khaira, look at this tanween. It is tanween litta'zim. Man yuridillahu bihi khaira, one kind of goodness that is big and vast. That's tanween. It is litta'zim. Man yuridillahu bihi khairan kathiran aziman jasiman. One huge, big khair, big thing. That was why it is endless khairan. It has come with that tanween. If Allah desires very big good things for you, yufaqihuhu fi din, Allah will make you have an understanding of the religion. And you will see that that understanding of the religion, it will reflect in every aspect of your life. You will now know that Allah has really blessed us with this Islam. Your thinking will be different. Your belief will be different. What threatens others will not threaten you, because you have fiqhuddin. You have an understanding of the religion. If you kick a stone while walking on the road with a left leg, it is useless. If a bird smashes your windscreen, it is useless. You go and remove the bird and continue your journey. Why? You understand that all of these things does not bring any harm to you. But for those who does not understand religion, they are traveling between Abeokuta and Sangota, and two birds flew across the vehicle. They hold a bad omen about that, and they begin to run about. They begin to become unsettled, running helter-skelter from one native doctor to the other. But somebody that has fiqhuddin, you will now know that, remove the birds and continue your journey. If shaitan suggests evil to you, immediately you begin to recite Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq min sharri ma khalaq, until you get to your destination, and it matter ends there. You see the bed as a bed, not a means of an evil omen against you. What is it by which Allah brought you to that? Fiqhuddin. Fiqhuddin, understanding the religion, will impact the entirety of your life. When others are traveling to the UK to spend time, or US, or Australia, France, Europe, to spend time at the beach with non-Muslims who expose themselves, drink alcohol, commit zina, and all of these, you take a break and go to Mecca and Al-Madinah. You go and sit down, you make tawaf, get a good hotel. You make tawaf, you go with your children. You make tawaf, you read Quran. You make umrah, you meet scholars. You sit down in the gatherings of learning. You eat, you rest also. You rest away from the hustles and the bustles that you were coming with from your country. And then you returned as a person that Allah has forgiven. Look at these two groups of persons. The other one was running about in hotels in Europe from one country to the other, where they consume alcohol, commit zina, engage largely in riba. He may not even hear an adhan throughout the 2 weeks break or 3 weeks break that he has gone to observe there. No adhan, no salat in jama'ah, because he does not have fiqhuddin. As for the one who has fiqhuddin, he travels to Mecca, he's in Medina, he spends that 3 weeks there. He gets a good hotel. Whenever he was in Al-Madinah, each salah he observed was better than 1,000 kind of it in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And when he is in Mecca, every salah that he observes is better than 100,000 of its kind elsewhere. So he, because of fiqhuddin, he makes benefit. Fiqhuddin makes a man to be confident regarding his family and he makes a woman be confident regarding her husband, no matter how well, how wealthy, how convenient the man is. The wife is comfortable. Why? My husband cannot commit zina. Oh, my wife cannot commit zina. So the fears that people of their likes have, they don't have it. Why? Fiqhuddin. They both understand the religion. They know the limits of Allah. And they keep the limits of Allah. I'm just saying that there is khairan, kathiran, and a lot of good, a lot of benefits, a lot of advantages when Allah makes you understand the religion. It reflects in all the aspects of your life. So the Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan also said while on the minbar that man yuridillahu bihi khaira, if Allah wants tremendous good for you, yufaqihu fiddin, Allah makes that person understand the religion. When he said all of this, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan then said, سمعت هؤلاء الكلمات من النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على هذه الآوات. I heard these words, هؤلاء الكلمات, those expressions that I gave. لا مانع لما إنه لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منع الله ولا ينفع ذا الجد منه الجد. I heard these كلمات, these expressions, من النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I heard them from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. على هذه الأعواد, on these wood, on these planks, this body of wood. Of course, that is in reference to the minbar of the Prophet. I heard it on these woods. رضي الله عنه. It was reported from him by Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi that qala Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan ala al-Mimbar. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan said while standing on the Mimbar in Al-Madinah that innahu la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'a Allahu wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minhu al-jaddu wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd minhu al-jaddu. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَكِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ سَمِعْتُ هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَعْوَادِ. I heard those expressions from the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ on these planks, on these wood platform, referring to his minbar. So from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is more of a dua of praise, dua uthana, and that was why he was saying Allahumma la, it's a praise for Allah. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana't wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd. La yanfa'u dhal jadd minka al-jadd. We also affirm that no one has power or authority or wealth. Those things in themselves do not bring benefit until the person has used them to benefit others and made them become good deeds for him. This thing is similar to that verse we usually read regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Wealth is beneficial. Children are beneficial. Is it not in the Quran and the Sunnah that we read that children make dua for their parents and it's a means of forgiveness for that parent? So كَيْفَ لَا يَنْفَعُ الْبَنُونَ. So banun make benefits. The same thing, mal. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ni'ma al-malu salih li rajulin salih. Good wealth, lawful wealth is very beneficial for a righteous man. Lawful wealth is very beneficial for a righteous man. The same thing when he spoke about sa'ada, success and happiness. So he mentioned things regarding wealth. We have also read here that it is beneficial and lawful for a person to ask Allah to grant him wealth. So wealth is beneficial. So if you spend that wealth in your dunya as a good deed, yanfa'uka fil akhirah. But if you didn't spend it, la yanfa'u malun. Wealth, just wealth like that, la yanfa. This is what he's saying here. La yanfa, wealth as wealth does not have any benefit. Authority as authority does not have any benefit. You are commander in chief of armed forces type. What have you done? No benefit. Until you begin to benefit others. That you're benefiting others. It has benefit in this dunya. It has advantages in this dunya. It also has full rewards you will gain in this dunya and in akhirah. So wealth, even your children, no benefit. You have a child, that's all. What does that mean? What benefit have you given to that child to be able to benefit you to tomorrow? Have you invested benefit in him so that tomorrow he begins to also make asking Allah to pardon you and forgive you? Did you invest Rabbirham in Huma Kama Rabbayani Sagira? Have you invested in him? Did you teach him the deen? Did you teach her the religion so that she or him can be a means of goodness for you? So there is goodness in wealth. There is goodness in children on the day of Qiyamah when you employ them for goodness. But when you don't employ them for goodness, la yanfa'u maluka wala abna'uka, your children and your wealth will not benefit you on the day of Qiyamah. If you guide your children upon goodness, upon success, you bring benefit to them, you give them tarbiyah to the awlad that is necessary. Allah had told us in the Quran, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum an-nara. You done all of these, they'll be beneficial to you. But when you don't do anything, or that you are using those same things as a means of disobedience to Allah, then what is the benefit that they will bring to you on the day of Qiyamah? Because many times people misunderstand that verse. La yanfa'u malun wala banun. Mal has benefits. That's not what that verse is saying. What it's saying is that that wealth has not been employed for goodness. La yanfa. Just like wealth hoarded that was meant for zakah. Yanfa'u sahibahu. La yanfa'u. So this was what this hadith is saying. Wala yanfa'u zal jaddi minhu al jaddu. In the sight of Allah, your wealth, your office, your prominence, your big business, your refinery, your whatever you have does not bring benefit until you spend it upon goodness, yarhamukallah. In the path of Allah, it now becomes good deed, not just your wealth again. You earn good deeds with your wealth. You earn good deeds with your person. You earn good deeds with your authority, with your power. You earn good deeds, so you'll be rewarded for the good deeds. But as for those wealth in themselves, not doing anything to anybody in terms of benefit or good deeds, even towards the person who has that wealth, those things will not benefit him. I hope that that is clear, inshallah, from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like we said, this is dua uthana. Once someone was asking, how do I praise Allah before commencing dua? You can say this. You say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alam. Allahumma la mani alima atayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana. This praise for Allah. Wa la yanfa'u al-jaddi minka al-jaddu. It's praise for Allah. The second isnad that comes, the isnad of Musa, that is Musa ibn Ismail, At-Tabuzaki, Abu Salama, rahimahullah, was the sheikh of Al-Bukhari in it. After that, he said, Haddathana Abdul Wahid. That was Imam Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad, who said, Haddathana Uthman ibn Hakim, who said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Kab. Qala Samaytu Muawiyata Nahwahu. Muhammad ibn Kab said, Samaytu Muawiyah. I heard Muawiyah radiallahu anhu saying, and then he said, Nahwahu. Al-Bukhari said, Nahwahu. Something similar to what we had read in the previous hadith. Likewise, the isnad that follows it, that one is the isnad of Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna, Bukhari rahimahullah has reported this hadith from many sheikhs. That's why sometimes they will say he has 500,000 isnad, 500,000 hadiths. We wonder how this one hadith now, it's almost becoming 10 from the Asani. This one expression has come to him from 10 roots now. If you say, they say Bukhari has 1 million hadiths, he has 1 million Asanid of reports. If 1,000 or 5,000 inside Bukhari, there are over 7,000 ahadiths. If these 7,000 ahadiths, they can come to him from roots, various roots, from various chains leading back to him that he collected from his sheikhs. He had about 1,000 teachers that he collected ahadiths from. Some of those 1,000 teachers, they'll be giving those same ahadiths, 7,000 ahadiths come to them. And by the time he begins to compile, he can get to a million as I need. This one reported it, the same hadith. Rahimahumullah. So in hadith 667, which is the next hadith from our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, I just mentioned Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna. And the next hadith is the hadith of Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna that al-Bukhari reported from him. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن المثنى قال حدثنا الهيثم بن جميل قال حدثنا محمد بن مسلم عن ابن أبي حسين قال أخبرني عمرو بن أبي سفيان عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن أوثق الدعاء أن يقول إن أوثق الدعاء أن تقول إن أوثق الدعاء أن تقول اللهم أنت ربي يرحمك الله وأنا عبدك ظلمت نفسي واعترفت بذنبي لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت ربي اغفر لي اللهم أنت ربي وأنا عبدك ظلمت نفسي واعترفت بذنبي لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت ربي اغفر لي. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from his Sheikh محمد ابن المثنى. He said حدثنا الهيثم ابن جميل, that is أبو سهل البغدادي. الهيثم ابن جميل, that's Abu Sahlin al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Muslim al-Ta'ifi. Muhammad ibn Muslim al-Ta'ifi. The statements of the scholars have varied regarding him. Al-Imam Ahmad had ruled him to be a weak reporter of hadith, while others, like Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, they say he is la ba'sa bihi, and others, like Al-Imam Ibn Adi and others. The scholars say he may have issues regarding some of his reports, but that largely is a reliable reporter of hadith. وَأَنَّ مِثْلَهُ لَا يَنْحَطُ عَنْ دَرَجَةِ الْحَسَنِ. His ahadith will not be lesser than in the category of a hadith that can be mentioned to be Hassan. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, who will see on the screen, he grades this hadith as weak. But what appears most authentic and Allah knows best is that this hadith, yakbalu tahsin, it is appropriate to say that it is hadith Hassan. And others amongst the scholars have actually done that, like Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, like the author of Zawa'idul Adab, Zawa'idu al-Adab al-Mufrad al-Sahihain. Those reports that are in al-Adab al-Mufrad that are not in Sahihain, the author of it has also graded this hadith. He even said that the hadith is Sahih because Muhammad ibn Muslim has a tabi', he has another person reporting that hadith from him, together with him from his sheikh. He has someone else reporting that hadith together with him from his sheikh, Ibn Abi Hussein. Ibn Abi Hussein is Amr ibn Sa'id. Amr ibn Sa'id ibn Abi Hussein al-Qurashi, rahimahullah. So this hadith is at least Hassan. Keep it in mind. This hadith is at least Hassan. And it has been graded Hassan by others amongst the scholars. And their view appears stronger, bi'ithnillah. So Muhammad ibn Muslim al-Ta'ifi is Hassan al-Hadith al-Sahih. He was reporting from Ibn Abi Hussein, who said, Akhbarani Amr ibn Abi Sufyan. That is Amr ibn Abi Sufyan al-Thaqafi. Amr ibn Abi Sufyan, Abu Abdullah al-Thaqafi. He was the student of Abu Huraira in this isnad. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qal, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Inna awthaqad du'ai an taqul. In some report it says, Inna awthaqad du'a. Awthaqu is the strongest, from the strongest and the most reliable thing you can say in du'a. If you say awfaku, from the most successful expressions of du'a, the first one from the strongest and most established, that is awfaku, which is the expression we have here. But the hadith has expressions where it says it is awfaku, and the scholars have mentioned that it is stronger an expression. So it is mean. He said, Inna awfaq. Inna awfaq. If you have success regarding your dua, from the dua with which you are most successful when you do it, is that you should say, Allahumma anta rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. Allahumma anta rabbi. Oh Allah, anta rabbi. You are my Lord. You have created me, Rabbi. You provide for me. You grant me sound health. You made me a Muslim. At the end of my time, you will take my life and you will raise me up. Anta Rabbi, you are my Lord. Wa ana abeduk, and I am your servant. You are my Lord and I am your servant. Zalam tu nafsi, I have wronged my soul. Wa ataraftu bi dhanbi, and I acknowledge my sins. Zalam tu nafsi, I wrong my soul. Wa ataraftu bi dhanbi, and I acknowledge that I fall short. I have shortcomings. La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. In all of these, la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. There is no one who will forgive shortcomings and sins. No one will forgive iniquities except you. When it is like that, Rabbi ighfirli, oh my Lord, forgive me. This is what we have been talking about. You see that just one expression of mas'ala is there. One expression of talab, dua talab. What is it? That last expression. Rabbi ighfirli ko. That is the only request there. All others, you are praising Allah. Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abiduk wa lam tu nafsi wa ataraftu bi dhanbi. La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Rabbi ighfirli. Allahumma anta rabbi. O Allah, you are my Lord. Wa nabiduk, and I am your servant. Zalam tu nafsi, I wronged my soul. Wa ataraftu bi dhanbi, I also acknowledge my many sins, O Allah. La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Nobody forgives sins, O Allah, except you. O Rabbi, ighfirli. So, my Lord, forgive me. Look at this dua. Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abiduk wa lam tu nafsi wa ataraftu bi dhanbi la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant rabbi ighfirli. We said this hadith is hasan. We encourage us to make this dua. Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abiduk wa lam tu nafsi wa ataraftu bi dhanbi la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant rabbi ighfirli. This dua, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna awfaqad du'a'i an taqul, from the most successful thing you would ever say. And this is very successful. You acknowledge your shortcomings and your sins. At the end of it, you say, Rabbi ighfirli, oh my Lord, forgive me. Yarhamukallah. Oh my Lord, forgive me. Oh Rabbi ighfirli. Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abiduk zalamtu nafsi wa ataraftu bi dhanbi la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant rabbi ighfirli. This is a dua that the Prophet has encouraged us to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we also encourage us to say it. Likewise, the first one that was reported by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Allahumma anta rabbi, we say, Allahumma la mani'a lima atayt, wa la mu'tiya lima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al jaddu. Then we say, Allahumma anta rabbi, wa ana abiduk, dhalamtu nafsi, wa ataraftu bi dhanbi, la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant, rabbi ighfirli. Ikhwa, these are dua. Don't be running about, following afajalabis, looking for dua. The Prophet has guaranteed you, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna awfaq, from the most successful thing you would do in a dua, is for you to say, Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abiduk zalamtu nafsi wa ataraftu bi dhanbi la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant rabbi ighfirli. This is a very potent means of asking for forgiveness from Allah. And of course, once Allah forgives you, He grants you mercy. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us our shortcomings and grant us His mercy. There is something I usually say in these circumstances. Some people say, how will Allah grant you? Allah will grant forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we are also willing to make tawbah and get out of shortcomings, because that's another mistake. On the other hand, someone will be upon sins every day, and then he comes to begin to say, oh Allah, forgive me. Yes, Allah will forgive you. Then you go back to the sin. Allah forgives you. You go back to the sin. This one is like someone who allows himself to be stabbed. Then his wound will get healed. Then the stab will come again. And the wound will get healed. And then the stab will come again. Ikhwa, will the stab have symbols of stab or not? You always find that effect of committing sins. When you commit sins, you come back again. You commit, go back. Yes, we always fall short. But let it be upon an error. Let it be upon a mistake. Let it not be deliberate. You go back to your past sins deliberately. That one is bad and it is suicidal. May Allah protect all of us. Perhaps we can take one or two questions before we call it a day and return to class tomorrow, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman. Amin wa iyyak. Abu Abdurrahman. نعم
نعم الكشف يجلس. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام
Please, have you assessed she faces difficulty whenever she wants to recite Al Quran? That she will be starting yearning and feeling asleep and find it difficult to meet the new target. To meet
What's
the
the
target.
question about the Rahman?
She said, what can she do to that?
If she does what? I couldn't hear you about the Rahman.
Well, let me take another one.
Okay.
It's just a happy one
Yeah.
says she faces difficulty when she wants to recite Al Quran, that she starts yearning and feeling asleep and find it difficult to
Okay.
meet the targets in many affairs she wants to meet. A happy though.
Now that might be connected to laziness, al-kasal. It may be connected to laziness, al-kasal. You are able to do something and then you still don't do it. It may be connected to laziness. So she should watch her own activities, especially, I always say that, the social media. If you browse, the longer you spend, the longer time you spend on the social media, the more it is difficult for you to return to good deeds. The social media gradually distances you from Allah. So the more time you spend on it, the more you may find it difficult to act upon goodness. Even Khamsu Salawat becomes difficult for some people. Khamsu Salawat, 5 daily salah. They keep on postponing the time. At that time, they are pressing phones. They are pressing. In fact, children now, sometimes when you ask them, where is your mother? They say, she's pressing phone. It has become something children has recognized regarding women now. Men too are not safe. So for the sake of Allah, the social media is a problem. If you are a hafiz, you can be anything. You can be imam of anywhere, Masjidul Haram. That is the biggest masjid, Abi. If you are too used to the social media, pressing the phone all the time, you are on Facebook, you are on Instagram, you are on Telegram, you are on just reading randomly and watching. Even when you are reading books of Islam, the scholars say, you easily forget what you read on the social media. Get books. Sit down with books. Get familiar with books. Study from inside books. It is the best for you. Don't go and misquote me and said, I have said that it is not proper to listen to lectures on social media. These days, people deliberately listen to you and misquote you. They begin to behave as if they don't know, but Allah knows your intentions. That is not what I'm saying. If you read Islamic books online, you read it on social media, the benefit in it is far less than reading it directly inside printed books. You gain more when you read inside printed books. The message is more retained in your mind when you read inside printed books. Many scholars have said what I have just said now. Sheikh Abdul Razak said it. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh said it. Many scholars said it. When you study inside the books, and that's my own personal experience, what I read online, I forget easily. But if I studied it in a book, I hardly forget. If I want to recall it, my mind will go back to pick. It will bring the picture of the book where I was studying and making notes. Read from books, ikhwa. study from books. Many of us have set books aside now. We get busy with phones all the time. So this one is detrimental. If you are too busy with the phone, gradually your mind will become weak. Your worship will become weak. Your muraja'a will become weak. And you become gradually distanced from goodness. I advise that person to check herself regarding the social media. The second thing I advise her to check if she's a woman who is married. Wallahi, check your relationship with your husband. You may be suffering from the consequences of bad relationship with your husband. And we have always learned it. That's the dance we are in on Ad-Da'wa Dawa. Every statement and action has a repercussion. You may be suffering a repercussion from bad dealings with your husband. Go back to it. Or bad dealings with your parents. Go back to it. Review yourself. Know what is wrong with you. Then begin to make dua. Make isti'adha. Raise to Allah. Ask His protection away from al-kasal, laziness. We had said that in many of the classes here, we actually studied a whole number of ahadith about at-ta'awwudhu billahi min al-kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal-maghram. We studied ahadith on that. Make dua, wake up in the middle of the night, beg Allah to help you against laziness that is overtaking you. From the dua you can be making, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. But when you are making all this dua, check those negative things you need to drop, so that it will not be that you are fetching water into a basket that has open ends. So you'll be fetching water, you'll be making dua, but at the same time, you are doing things that will not support the cause of your dua. That is not the way to resolve a problem. As you make dua, as you make efforts, ensure that you are not doing things that are detrimental to the cause of what you are asking Allah for. I beg Allah to help this person overcome this laziness and the rest of our brothers who are held down from goodness. Many people are held down. They are boxed down from goodness because of laziness. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help everybody, us all, against this evil of al-kasal, and not to make our minds so connected to the social media that we begin to now clearly see the evil repercussions of that connection. We beg Allah to free our minds, help us. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان. وزينه في قلوبنا. وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها. وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم.
آمين وإياكم.